I was paid to put on a killer show.
You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thursday. It is, of course, February 10th, 2022, and we are doing yet another edition of the very interesting show. And as I look around the room here, take a good glimpse and a good count of my surroundings here. My eye immediately goes over to you, Johnny Horndog, with your outfit tonight. Now, while I have to say that it does look snazzy and I like it a lot, it does appear as though you might be using the show tonight as a test run for maybe going to a hippie funeral. So where are you planning on wearing this outfit? What are you using the show as a test run for it?
I'll be wearing this anywhere and everywhere. I don't really give a shit.
I like the idea.
It looks pretty comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. It's all like Japanese inspired clothing, and I really fuck with the culture, so I just wanted to get a swagged out outfit. There's a couple different variants and pieces I'm not wearing tonight. But, you know, you can really wear this anywhere. You're going to the store or you're going to a show. Doesn't really matter. You can wear it anywhere.
He wanted to appreciate the culture of the Japanese individuals.
And with Asian culture, it's funny because they're very eager to share their culture with other people. Sure. And they think that it's like a respect thing where you're able to say, hey, here's my culture. And if you're adopting it in a sense, they take it as like appreciation. Like I appreciate the fact that you're absorbing my culture.
Yeah.
It's and that we're able to share this with you, and now you're adopting it.
They seem to like it. I've noticed that it's like it's mostly white people that complain about cultural appropriation, whereas when other people see that we're like appreciating their culture, they seem to dig it. It's
I agree with that. Like most cases that I've seen, yes, of course, there's, you know, sensationalism that's on the internet that shows that there are people that dislike it, but for the most part, I've seen a lot of people really appreciate when you take an interest
yeah,
and
yeah,
you're inspired by other cultures that are not your own. I think that brings and breeds togetherness and unity, and that's something that we all really need right now.
And I think it's funny, something that Cameron just said just now is that it's usually like white people that might be offended or something
that. Like, on behalf of everybody else, like, oh,
right,
thank you.
Like,
I'm
what
glad,
culture? Uh-huh. What culture is being stolen from the white people? White people don't have any culture. Let's be real. There's everything's
oppression. That is our culture.
You ever hear of imperialism? Yeah, right. We did that.
Yeah, you heard of the missionary? You're welcome.
Have you seen all the churches out there?
No, I haven't heard of the missionary, but my girlfriend sure has.
And Justin, how are you doing? I know that we, or you in particular, have been tasked with keeping some animals that we now have in the house, and I haven't seen them yet, and I'm really curious to see if they eventually decide to come out.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be a collective effort because I think they said it was 5 days. Five-ish days. So I am leaving to go to Texas on Tuesday. So
fortunately,
I won't be here for a couple of
cats
days.
Are very self-efficient, which leads me to the question of if people are heading out of town for 5 days, like, and I'm not knocking the people that asked you to do this, but like, why do the cats need to be relocated for 5 days?
It
isn't 5 days long enough to have the cats just kind of be self-sufficient as long as they have enough food? And
yes and no. Some cats, like dogs, will eat their food right away that's offered to them. And they don't know how to
regulate or ration.
You know, they eat more than what they need because of, you know, being domesticated. It tends to be more so with cats that they don't do that, but it does still happen occasionally. Obviously, these two cats are in a new environment.
What kind of cats are they?
One's a domestic short hair, one's a domestic long hair.
That's very descriptive.
It's one's orange.
that almost reminds me of this meme.
One's
where
white
it's like,
with some. They're not like a specific breed of cat. Like they're just kind of.
Yeah, it's not like an Egyptian Sphinx cat. No, it's funny because there's this meme that it reminded me of as soon as you asked that question. It's just like when you're talking to dog owners, it's like, oh, is that a terrier? No, it's a. And they get rage about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, what breed of cat is that? Brown.
Right. Right. Like it's if it was a specific type of cat, I would share that, but yeah. Like it's just, we just
don't know.
Their cats aren't as like unless you're going out there looking for like a specific cat like a Persian or, you know, a Sphinx right. cat or Maine a hairless cat or a yep. Maine Coon, but like the long hair may have a little bit of Maine Coon in it,
right.
But
that's what I thought.
Are we going to be able to maybe go to the cat ancestry and me and like maybe if one of them decides to come out, like just swab it and is 5 days enough to get a proper DNA test on this?
Let us. I have already figured out that we have to keep doors closed downstairs because one of them decided to go explore the laundry room as soon as it came out of the cage, or as soon as I pulled
though.
It out of the carrier. No, it's not, because it immediately jumped on top of the washer and dryer.
There's
and
a lot
was
of
like,
in there, too.
Hey, there's a space back here. This looks comfy enough for me to hide behind,
no.
And jumped down there. So I pulled it out of there, and we'll just need to make sure we keep that closed up, but.
I'm digging Justin's mysterious look here too. If you
if
you can see on the camera with the hat, it's almost look like he's like a locked character in a video game. A little bit.
He's hiding
like the shadow.
His face.
You don't really know who it is. It's like mysterious. So he's got this mysterious asset. Like, what does he even look like?
The rest of the show, he'll just shadow over his eyes.
Even more so, and you guys can't see my eyes.
Imagine that's
anymore.
The entire show.
I've never seen that hat before.
It's a new one.
It's a new one.
It's a nice one.
You haven't gotten around to putting one of the new simulation radio pins that we just got
on
that
one
gonna, yet.
No, I'm not gonna.
Not gonna soil that hat.
Oh, I wouldn't say soil, but I'm not. I'm trying. I'm probably not gonna put pins in this one. I'll just keep that one for the
mushroom hat.
It's not in the mushroom hat either. It's in my my Miller hat.
Oh, you actually have a mushroom? Oh,
no, like the Mario.
Oh, like
mushroom
the Mario.
Hat.
When you said mushroom hat, I thought you were being funny, making a penis joke.
No.
It took me a second too. I was like, "Well, I don't have." I was definitely about to say, "I don't have a mushroom hat," but
you got the
I
one
thought
up
about it.
The Mario one up. Yeah.
That's flattering.
And it also
that you
has
think.
It also has the triangle. From Zelda on the bill.
You're flattering yourself thinking that I think that it would be big enough to put a hat on it, but
I'm just imagining like, what's that piercing? Like a Prince Edward or what is that? Prince Albert.
A Princess Prince Peach.
Prince Albert where you have the simulation radio.
Or Jacob's Ladder, whichever.
Jacob's Ladder of just simulation radio pins all up along your cock.
God. Maybe one day. I'll have to get some specially made pins.
you get the Prince Albert edition simulation.
Yeah. It'll be like the two balls with the bar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then you just have like different logos on each side.
Exactly. That's exactly what I pictured it would be.
And
like.
It ladders down. And you run chains. Now we're getting too elaborate, sorry.
So if you're not listening live, if you're listening to the podcast or the YouTube recording of the video, then you are always, of course, free to join us live every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern. And make sure to follow all of the social medias as well. It is at Simulation Radio. Say it with me, fellas. On everything.
Everything.
On YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitch, again, Twitter.
Tiki-taki.
TikTok,
Instagram, and yes, of course, the dreaded TikTok as well. That one I'm working on. Look, I'm having a hard time focusing on more than one social media at a time, especially because the Instagram numbers are like they're increasing more and more by the day, and I'm spending a lot more time on that one.
Naturally.
And I started taking so I cut Wednesday out of the Simulation Radio live schedule to kind of have an office hours day on Wednesday night. And I'm, even with an extra day of office hours of work, I'm still having a hard time. Like, I've got a lot of shit to do, man. And I'm having to, like, play triage as to what I'm going to focus on. And that's probably the primary thing that's going on in my headspace as we think about the future. And we'll talk about some of that more on the Patreon show later. But that's the primary thing in my headspace for this month, is like kind of juggling what to triage and like what I'm going to primarily focus on and what to kind of let sit aside for a while. And right now, Instagram seems to be the most poppin' thing in terms of the numbers. And I'm just having a fun time, like, putting stuff on it. It's the perfect, it's one of my favorite social medias because I really love still image, like, shit post style memes.
Yeah.
And the amount of those that I come across during the day that I've just, like, randomly stolen and put in a database to start posting on the Simulation Radio at Simulation Radio Instagram is pretty insane.
I wish you would have let me know that. I have another, there's an app that I use a lot. It's called iFunny. That's all it is just a bunch of shit posting
memes. Now, I have a question, Cameron. Mm. Do you find that there's a lot of the content that is not cross-compatible from, say, Instagram into TikTok? Because I see a lot of TikTok stuff on Instagram, but is the clips too long, or what are you finding?
That's the thing. The clips that I post on Instagram are too long to put on TikTok. Oh, okay. I would have to. The thing is that TikTok content ports pretty well to Instagram, but Instagram content doesn't port as well to TikTok.
Mm, okay.
So I would have to more specially do some of the TikTok stuff. I would have to trim it down a little bit more for that, because right now the way that it works is even the show clips and the daily videos that I post are still too long to put on TikTok. So what I feel like we're gonna have to do is start making separate content for TikTok regardless, which, to be fair, is on the agenda of stuff to be doing. It's just, once again, I gotta take a little bit of time and, like, kind of mentally evaluate where the priorities are gonna start going. Like, for instance, this month, the prime project that I'm working on is getting the simulationradio.com website kind of going a little bit more. And that's my big project for this month. So another way to follow everything that's going on with the show is our website, simulationradio.com. Currently, all of the podcasts are posted there. I will be soon posting some news articles and some articles that I'm writing on it as well. You know, just kind of maybe personal improvement stuff, like takes on whatever news stories are going on. It could kind of eventually merge its way into some sort of a news aggregate website. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up a little bit this month as well. And we've got some very, very fun stuff in the works. All the stuff that's going to require some financial investment on my part, we are going to have to push back a little bit to probably towards the end of March, early April. But, you know, stay tuned. Lots of good stuff coming up in the pipeline, including your favorite content creators that you didn't know that you needed in your life. So
we got to take this time to thank our Patreon supporters too, because you're helping make those milestones happen faster. So thank you guys for subscribing to that as well.
Of course. Now, I was going to save this announcement for the end of the show, but I figure I might as well just get it right in there now while we're on the topic. So by the way, we will, coming up on the show a little bit later before we get to this Patreon announcement, we're going to be doing some Reddit reviews tonight. Now, of course, it is Valentine's Day coming up soon. We've got some Super Bowl stuff to get to. I have a very interesting Super Bowl story that we'll get to in a moment. And also, when we come back from break, we will be playing the highest stakes game show, I think, of all time, because not only...
That's a bold statement. Is it of all time for the show or all time ever?
No, in all of radio. The highest stakes, I would say, on any radio show that has ever existed in the entire universe. So we'll have that coming up right here on tonight's show after break. So you're not going to want to miss it. The greatest role in the history of acting will be on the line for today's show. And
I can't wait.
You guys know what's coming up, and I cannot wait to let you guys in on the secret as well. And we will be playing that game show when we come back from break, in addition to our lovely AI script that we will use to wrap the show up. And boy, is it gonna be a spicy one. Now, of course, we have our entertainment script, and I would really, really call this one entertainment, based on the human being that we are dealing with here, that has 1,000 hours of content fed into a robot, and that robot spits out some scripty goodness that we will go over. And the stakes for the lead of that role will be up for grabs. Not just that, but we also got some points too. I mean, I know you guys are fighting for points also, but
till the end of time.
That'll probably be somewhat in the back burner tonight once we learn exactly who the character it is that we will be playing. So And a quick announcement about Patreon before we really blow things wide open here is that what we're probably going to do is we're going to move to doing 1 2-hour Patreon show per month. That way, and I'm going to like find some fun activities to do. We're going to find stuff that you would not get to see on the regular show. We'll do all the stuff that we usually do. We'll get some behind the scenes stuff. We'll get some fun stuff in there too. And then I will find between like special guests or very exciting activities to do. And we'll wrap that up all into our monthly Patreon show. And the first of those will not be tonight, and it will not be next week because Justin will be out of town next week. So more than likely, the February Patreon show that we are shooting for will be in 2 weeks. That'll give me enough time to really put a good 2-hour show together and come up with some really, really fun stuff. And since it's a pre-recorded piece of content, we won't have to do it directly after the show on Thursday night because, again, that would go into we're moving back into like ending at 11 midnight territory, which is not a world that I want to go back to. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie on that.
Especially with having work on Friday.
I really like my sleep, and we have talked a lot about sleep over the last couple of weeks, and I got to say, I am in a much, much better mood today than I was last week, and the week before was kind of okay. Now, of course, we have to get to some of the key things that are coming up in our culture, and I would say two of the most important things that happen in American culture, at least, they happen to, at least this year it worked out that way, they happen to occur at fairly similar times. Now, I'm talking about Valentine's Day. We'll get to that in a moment once we do some Reddit reviews, and I have a story about that. And, of course, this weekend, it is Super Bowl Sunday, fellas. The Los Angeles Rams will be playing the Cincinnati Bengals at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. And I saw this story today.
I have predictions, but go ahead.
Really? You have predictions. So what do you guys think is going to happen?
Right. The Bengals. 34-31.
34-31, huh? Well, Madden 2022, the simulation that ran in the video game, predicted the Cincinnati Bengals to win 24-21. So you're not entirely far off on that. And that has a pretty good win rate, John.
And actually, I don't know if you realize what you did there, Justin.
Oh, I know exactly what I did there.
Uh-oh. This was actually predicted by The Simpsons.
Yes, it was.
Oh. Bengals win the Super Bowl 34-31, right?
Against the Rams.
The Rams. So the Simpsons predicted it. So
that's what I'm running with because they've been pretty good. Well, I wouldn't say everything, but they've been pretty good with their futuristic predictions.
Yeah, and I've been a big football fan since the last I can remember, and I could see that happening. It's not completely out of the realm of reality, right? It would be the Bengals' first ever Super Bowl victory as well as a franchise.
Could be cool.
I would be rooting for them anyway, regardless of the score. I'm just putting that there because that was the Simpsons prediction, but I'm going to be going for the Bengals because they're the underdog.
But I think that the Rams are a much more talented team. If you're going to put money on it, unless there's some kind of over-under kind of thing to differentiate it, it's hard to bet against the LA Rams, considering their talent level.
Yeah, they got some pretty solid dudes on their team.
I'm a big fan of Matthew Stafford as well. Yeah. He's pretty good.
He's never won one either. He's been stuck on the Lions since forever. And,
he's done great things since being traded to the Rams.
Yeah, then OBJ as well. You know, there's a lot of people, Aaron Donald, a ton of people who just don't have that ring and who deserve it, realistically.
Yeah, now, on both sides.
One of the things that people are looking forward to the most in the Super Bowl is the halftime show, of course. And we have some confirmed people that are performing already amongst the likes of Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, and Eminem, all confirming to be performing, including potentially some surprise guests. Now, you would think that these artists they're going to need to rehearse, right? They're going to need to practice.
Nonsense. They're gods of their crafts.
Right, but they're still rehearsing anyway, especially in a big together piece like that. Now, they're doing their rehearsals in SoFi Stadium. And with that brings the question of, okay, based on the fact that they're doing these rehearsals in SoFi Stadium, how is it not possible, or how is it possible that nobody would be leaking elements of that performance? Like, for instance, maybe the special guest that is still unknown that could be making an appearance that we might get to see. And they did an investigation into this by, of course, TMZ did, by sending somebody out there to try and get the information leaked. Of course they did. And there is a very particular way that they are preventing people from hearing the rehearsal and from having the information from it get leaked. And before, have you guys seen this story yet?
No,
so I want to get your guesses before I reveal how they're...
I've got a handful off the top here.
All right,
so,
give me your... primary.
EMP devices, no recording or sound equipment, period.
Good guess,
My guess would
and
be
that's
that
all I got.
My guess is that they're doing it completely underwater, because you yell underwater, you can't hear above the water, so that stands to reason
or
that you won't be able to hear it.
They're doing their rehearsal under the stadium.
Under the sea.
Under the stadium. Under the stadium.
That's the key right there. Because is it a modern stadium where the field can be relocated outside?
Oh, this is like state-of-the-art stadium. It just got built, but I can't confirm if that's something that they're doing.
Because there are stadiums, correct me if I'm wrong, there are stadiums that are like that, right?
I've never heard that, but, if...
Or maybe it's like a retractable field, and then there's like... it can be multi-purpose.
I have heard that. I just don't really see that happening on most football fields, if any, because of the risk of dangers and things. I don't really know.
They invest a lot of money into these things.
This is true. This is true.
Despite that,
a lot of money.
I can indeed confirm that SoFi Stadium cannot sink into a subterranean level of the earth, and they can practice that way.
But there could be a basement.
Justin's prediction is that it's like an underground lair that they're practicing in.
So. Yeah, it's like a cavern that was that it was built on that the stadium was built on top of. Intentionally, because they knew they were going to have the Super Bowl there this year with these people, so they could practice underground, very similarly to how they, in The Matrix, how they have sing and dance and stomp their feet so that the Sentinels can feel them and hear them.
So are we close?
Alas, you guys both have solid guesses, but I regret to inform you that neither of you will be getting the bonus point for the method that they're using. Now, the stadium, instead, what they're doing is on the outside of the stadium, they're blasting Red Hot Chili Peppers and Bon Jovi over the speakers on the outside of the stadium to distract people from the performers that are rehearsing inside the stadium. And that's quite a staunch twist of music styles. Like, maybe somebody goes outside the stadium, they're hearing Bon Jovi and Red Hot Chili Peppers, but then go inside and they're hearing the likes of Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige.
So this is in L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's to stop somebody from launching a drone from a nearby skyscraper and flying it over there and recording them?
Anti-drone drones.
Yeah, they're
obviously.
Surely
so
they'll just shoot them out of the air, right?
They got some birds from Australia, some hawks of sorts. Have you seen these videos? Like, it's hard for people to fly drones in Australia, but
birds
just because
aren't real.
Of like the vultures and stuff. Just take them out.
I imagine. The thing is, I was being sarcastic earlier, but I really could see a world where they've specifically positioned like snipers around the SoFi Stadium, ready to just, fucking take out all these drones that are trying to leak the halftime performance.
Or training pigeons to just shit all over them until they fall out of the sky.
We've wasted money on worse things.
You're not wrong. A lot of worse things.
So I really want to know how you guys are spending your Super Bowl. Are you having a nice party out there? Are you just kind of chillaxing, maxing, relaxing all cool on Sunday and just taking it easy? Be sure to leave a comment in the YouTube recording, the YouTube video, or make sure to follow at Simulation Radio and let me know how you're spending your Sunday, because I'm very curious.
And then, go ahead.
That's all I got.
Well, I was going to say, and then after smashing that like button, hit that notification bell so you get notifications when our boy Cam here posts some videos or whenever we're going to go live. Also,
let the record show that I'm not doing this shilling.
make sure to consume all the things and watch. Give us your favorite commercial as well, because that's gonna be a thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm sure we're gonna talk about, you know, what our favorite commercial was.
But most importantly, shove as many things in your mouth as possible.
All the pizza,
because that's what the day is for.
All the nachos, and definitely consume all the beer. And if you actually are one of the winners,
the Hormel chili cheese
keg, definitely. Hook us up. Send us a video of you doing a keg stand with it.
I'm going to do some follow-up on that story right now. Did anyone win the Hormel chili cheese
keg? Or have they even drawn for it yet? Maybe it's not until tomorrow.
The thing is, because they said that they would deliver it in time for the Super Bowl, so
right,
I would hope
that
they've won.
It could be delivered tomorrow or Saturday.
They've picked a winner by now, at least, but it doesn't look like that they have gone that far in the process. So Hormel, you've got your work cut out for
you. They at least haven't announced it yet.
So another key thing that is happening in our culture coming up on Monday is Valentine's Day, fellas. And I know, hey, Valentine's Day. This is exciting stuff here. But
No, it's not.
I have to pretend. I'm really glad that I chugged a Red Bull before talking about, hey, Valentine's Day, right. So that is coming up, and we will be doing Reddit reviews in just a moment. We, of course, gathered, and by gathered, I mean we will be doing some live browsing of the top relationships questions of the week. And in the name of Valentine's Day, I want to go through a couple of those. But one of my biggest Valentine's Day memories was, so there's this really far off place, kind of near DeLand. It's called, like, it's not Gator's Dockside, but it's a place that has Gator Tail. It's a magical land. It's like,
it's a magical far off land.
Yeah, it's like Lakeside.
35 minutes down the road.
Lakeside Bar and Grill, I think, is what it's called. Okay. And it's set up like right by a river, and it is in the middle of fucking like podunk nowhere. It's exactly what you would expect.
The land of my
people. It is exactly. It's exactly what you would expect out of it. And so I was really hankering for some Gator Tail that day. And I did not know that it was Valentine's Day. And so my best friend that lives over in New Smyrna now, mm-hmm. on the farm that I do some blacksmithing with, me and him head down to this Gator Tail place on Valentine's Day. And they think that we're a couple. I'll just
milk it. Get all kinds of free stuff.
No, the waitress.
Fake a breakup on Valentine's Day. Your meal will be comped. All that good stuff.
I didn't realize it at first until they gave us like a different set of menus than everybody else had. And then the waitress came up and is like, oh, fuck, I can't even do the voice. Like, y'all sweeties need anything? And I'm like, it's good. What the heck? I had to.
Yeah, you did.
I had to prep for it. Yeah. And I don't know, man. Being in some podunk place like that, appearing as, because he is especially is an old country boy. Like, he looks
tell you
the part,
what.
Too. Yeah, I just want a picture of a god dang hot dog.
Right?
And in that moment, you know, I was willing to ignore it because I wanted Gator Tail so damn bad. And it kind of makes me associate Gator Tail with Valentine's Day now. And so I really see a potential world where I kind of want to go get some Gator Tail soon. Like, I
look over here,
good.
Cletus. Look, isn't they the sweet? They put the gay in Gator Tail.
Oh, boy.
That's great.
So I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just scarred by Valentine's Day or whatever the deal is there, or I will just forever associate it with Gator Tail. But again, I want to know what your Valentine's Day plans are. Fellas, what do you have planned for your ladies and vice versa for the ladies? Do you have anything planned for your man, or are you just kind of letting him take the wheel and hope for the best? Because that is a valid Valentine's Day strategy.
Or men, what are you planning for your other man? Or women, what are you planning for your other women? And everything in between.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially after the story that I just told, we have to know that anything is possible. I did feel a little ostracized at that place, as though we were being looked at like fucking monkeys in a cage. Because nobody's ever seen our kind before.
Although you guys were definitely like heterosexual men, I'm sure there was someone, some couple from the LGBT community that was there.
Not at that place.
You don't think so?
I really think that us being mistaken for a gay couple was probably the closest thing that anybody has
seen. How long ago was this?
This was probably like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, it's still relevant. Yeah. It still could have been some, especially in Central Florida. It's probably one of the most open areas that I've been, like, as far as like being accepting to that community out of all the places that I visited.
That's true.
It's possible, but it may not be. I get what you're saying. It's still, like you said, it's backwoods a little bit. So
I am
there
glad.
Are still some of those isolated areas that just still have that hate.
At the very least, I'm glad that we didn't have a hot sauce thrown at us. And you might be right, actually, because everybody was fairly nice to us in kind of this like distant, creepy way. Like they didn't want to associate with us that much, but they were still nice.
Yeah, server which, trying to be too personal. What?
Which is about all that you can expect from, like you said, people that probably are not exposed to that for most of their lives. So, you know, I give them an A for effort.
Did I ever tell you about the time on Valentine's Day that it was suspected I had a bomb?
Oh, did you?
Buckle up, kids. This is going to be great.
So, I was traveling to Boston to see my sweetie at the time.
Shit, the Boston Marathon.
And
this motherfucker did it.
We promised not to talk about that on air. So, before that blows up, let's talk about this other story. So, I was working for, a cell phone company like I am now, but I was in the retail sector, and I had taken an empty box that was meant for like an iPad, but I didn't have an iPad in it.
Oh,
right?
No.
So what I did, it was really sweet in my mind. It was awesome, a thought, but basically I in the center of this iPad box, I put like a pair of AirPods. She was always talking like with the wired ones, and I'm not gonna have any girl of mine look like she's broke, right?
I remember you setting this up.
Yeah,
you showed me this.
So, what I did is I put in the very center of this iPad box AirPods, and I surrounded it with all of her favorite candy. She really liked the right Twix or something like that. They sell left and right Twix. I cleaned out the store for all the right Twix and Snickers, I think. But
hey,
basically,
everybody, we're all going to get laid.
I filled like the outside around this AirPod with all of her favorite candies. And on top, I put a pair of the wired AirPods. So she'd get the present, right? And she'd be like, oh, an iPad. Oh, my God. Open it. Oh, it's wired headphones, but candy. And then she picked up that wired headphones. Like, oh, AirPods. So it's a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah. Like, this poor girl.
That's sweet.
But I'm going through airport security, and apparently the wired headphones and the outer surrounding pieces of candy look like plastic explosive and wiring.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Didn't think about that.
I wouldn't have either. I would have made that same mistake.
So I'm going through TSA checkpoints, and then I'm like put my bag through, and I get pulled to the side. They're like, sir, is this your bag? Yes. Is there something wrong? Yeah, we just need to check out this. They pull out the iPad. And I'm just like, oh, shit. I immediately realized the fault and what it probably looked like. But I was mad because she, like, took out all the candy. It was hard to pack those in just the right way.
And you did it carefully with love.
They got to wipe them all down just to make sure.
And that's what they did. They took, like, I don't know how they do it. It must be some kind of, like particle test or some kind where they
swab test and then on, like, a sterile pad.
And then they ran the test. No bomb, just chocolate. So that was the time where I was a suspected bomber.
I had something similar happen when I was on one of my return trips from visiting family out in Texas. My oldest sister made soap, and she gave me like 3 or 4 bars of soap to come home with. And obviously, you run that through your carry on bag. It looks like bricks of trucks,
right?
So they're like, what's in your bag? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's fine. I know you're going to have to pull it out and scan it, because it was also in a military bag, and they're already going to be suspect of those types of bags anyway. And so I was like, yeah, it's just bars of soap, but you got to run your test. I totally get it. I was like 3 hours early for my flight. I had nothing else to do, so I was just like chilling. Mind you, there's this other guy that's next to me had the same thing, a similar thing happened. Something looked suspect in his bag, and he was like, well, my flight leaves in 20 minutes. How long is this going to take? And I was like, so you look like you travel a lot. You should anticipate these things.
Yeah.
Well, you have no excuse, man.
It's your own fault.
Your own fault. But yeah, they wound up doing the same thing. It was, they took on the, they didn't open it, but they would just wipe around on the outside. And then they run it through like a little computer scan, that, you know, basically what it searches for is like different types of explosive material, like residue. But
so let me know. It sounds like our Valentine's Day experiences, the most memorable ones at least, have been ridiculously traumatic. So I want to know how your Valentine's Day experiences have been. Has it been, have yours been as traumatic as ours, or do you associate Valentine's Day with a generally better time? So of course, about that as well, be sure to leave a comment and make sure to tag us on social media if you would like to tell your story, and it could make it to the show if it is indeed juicy enough. So
mine this was back when I lived in North Carolina. My girlfriend that I had at the time was she was my girlfriend, whatever. No longer is my girlfriend.
Oh, that's a lot of damage.
And we went out for dinner. Nothing too fancy, just a regular restaurant. And she proceeded, or I got it like as a bottle of wine or whatever, and she proceeded to drink the entire bottle. And I was like, hey, you probably should slow that down. They can cork it for us and we can leave with it, you know.
No.
She's like, no, this is great. We're celebrating. Yeah. Just gets sloshed, right? To the point where I have to literally carry her over my shoulder to the car or to my truck, place her in there. She pukes all inside of my truck, right? And then obviously the night at this point's ruined because I'm taking care of a fucking grown child at this point.
I'm just celebrating.
Right? And she did not know her limits when it came to alcohol. And so I got her back to the house. Luckily, it wasn't too far. It was only about like 3 miles to get back to the house.
That's still a long time to drive with puke in your car and having to smell that.
Well, the puke didn't happen until like we were like taking our exit to get off the highway. So it wasn't an immediate thing.
It couldn't have been a "Hey, can you stop?" situation. It was
it was like mid conversation. She just
I just had such a good time today.
That's basically what it was. And then so I get her inside. I like get her to the shower. She cleans herself up, and she's like, "Are we still gonna, you know, get nasty?" And I was like, yeah, probably not.
No.
I said, no, the mood's ruined.
You're gonna need to clean yourself off real good.
You're gonna need to make it up to me though, like this weekend, because I think Valentine's Day was like on a Wednesday or Thursday or something. So anyway, I wind up cleaning up the truck. She did wind up making it up to me. She actually took me out to dinner.
Ooh.
I still drove because she didn't have a license, but she paid for the meal.
Still worth.
And she did not drink the whole bottle of wine. We took it back with us, finished it, and
smart.
Had our good night. One time she learned something from a night of excess.
Was that it? That was the only time that she ever learned anything in her whole life?
Well, that's the one time that she paced herself because she didn't want to fuck it up again.
So you've heard our stories. You've heard our clearly traumatizing stories. So let me know how yours went. And now we go over to Reddit to hear their traumatizing stories in tonight's edition of Reddit Reviews. All right. We don't have a lot of time, so I will give and present three options to you guys, three topics, and we'll see which one of these sounds the most appealing to kind of tackle here. So the first one, the top post of the week on Reddit, boyfriend owes me money and I don't know how to handle it. There's one option. Ponder it. Let it mull. Let it sit. Here's another one from a 15-year-old female and a 16-year-old male who clearly has a lot to learn here. A girl that I liked started acting cold after I confessed my feelings to her. Please help. And these are 15 and 16-year-olds. John's not liking that one.
Nah.
We've got another one. My boyfriend, my 23 female boyfriend, who is a 26-year-old male, is being pushy about how much he wants me to go to the gym. We got that option. And we have one more option of me, who is a 21-year-old male with my girlfriend, 23, of 3 years, calls my gift stupid.
That one.
Yeah. All right.
Let's find out how stupid was it.
We'll go with that one. Oh, this is such a short post, too. I like it. So This one comes from I Kinda Need This, who I would assume is a throwaway account on the relationship subreddit. He says, I went to the beach with my family last summer, and unfortunately, my girlfriend couldn't come with us. I decided to buy her a seashell I thought she'd like and gathered some clamshells from the beach for her. When I gave her the gifts, she said she didn't like them. Now, several months later, we're talking about it again, and she called those same gifts stupid. I think I'm justified in being hurt by this, but she doesn't seem to understand it. So this is, they're asking for advice here. How does this guy even go forward with this? Does he sit her down and maybe talk to her about this? Or does he do what every male does and just bottle it in forever and maybe unleash it with a domestic violence slap 10 years in the future?
Well, not necessarily that. Some things you just gotta let go, and it might be. I mean, he could try to rationalize it with her. It depends on how she is as a person, too. I mean, if she's willing to be open and understanding, then go for it. But if not, then just sometimes you just got to let it just roll off the back, man.
So here it is. I've got the answer.
Break up with it.
No.
That would be my answer for everyone.
I'm going to draw an anecdote from a show, a popular show called Black-ish. Have you guys have heard of it?
Yes. I've heard of it, but haven't
I've
seen
watched it.
So in one particular episode, the main male lead character, every single birthday, holiday, whatever, he's just like, I always kill it every single year with my gifts. And then her gifts suck. Like, she just doesn't get it, right? She just gets me like a binder of photos and something dumb where I'm getting her like Gucci bags and shit. And so he thinks that he's killing the gift game. And so he ends up giving her gift. And she's like, oh my God, I love it. And he's just like, yeah, I knew you'd love it, right? Yeah, your gifts suck though. And so she's just like, oh, my gifts suck? Well, here's the twist on it. Your gifts suck. He's like, what? No.
Oh.
No. She's like, I've just been pretending I like these gifts all these years. And he's like, what the fuck? And so it turns out that they just don't understand what each other's like love languages are. What each other's preferences. She likes the sentimental, sweet things like, oh, here's a collage of all the times we've had together. I made it, and here's the gift. And that's what she would want back in return. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he would love the fucking flashy watches and chains and stuff, but she gives him the sentimental stuff.
They were getting the gift that they wanted and giving it to the other person.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that this instance is a misunderstanding as to what she values. And this is actually on each other, but him in this case, he shouldn't have his feelings hurt. He obviously put a lot of thought into this gift, being that giving his circumstance, and which is why he feels the way that he feels. But the truth of the matter is he does not fully understand how she likes to receive gifts and what's important to her. So it takes him or her, or both of them in this case, takes two to tango to be able to have that come together, have that understanding, and figure out what that is for the other.
Exactly. Another thing that I think is interesting from your example is that they're still able to, I'm assuming that this couple from Black-ish has regularly a fairly solid relationship, and so they're able to make it work, and from this bit of communication, they've all of a sudden learned something new about each other. So it's not like this is a situation that cannot be come back from. And when you think about it like that, maybe it's just one of those things where, you know, you just have to acknowledge that your partner has a different preference than you, and you kind of have to just deal with it.
And I think that it kind of correlates to how a lot of people live their everyday lives in their own kind of head, in their own kind of bubble, and they have these expectations for themselves and how they're being treated by others, when really they're not putting themselves in other people's shoes. They see through their own lenses, and then that's how they carry themselves and treat other people, but they might not have the wherewithal to take themselves out of the equation and understand someone else.
Another thing to note that this commenter noted, it particularly the last line, I feel hurt because she acknowledges this but doesn't feel bad. So it sounds like the thing that's impacting him the most is that, sure, she acknowledges that she doesn't like the gifts, and maybe when they communicate about it, she's not apologetic about it.
Which,
and that seems to be
his
issue.
I don't feel like she should have to be. I mean, she's just explaining her viewpoint. You don't necessarily have to apologize for the way that you feel about something,
yeah.
Always, like,
but it almost sounds like she's throwing it back in his face in a way, like,
if
you
it
know.
Is something that's yeah. rude that she's coming at him, then that's a different approach. But if it's just where she's, you know, just explaining her side and not apologizing,
I don't think that's necessarily needed.
I just don't see the scenario where the actual real conversation's happening. It's just surface level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not an understanding. It's more and it's tough when you feel like he might in this situation to even listen to reason, because you get so defensive so quickly. And I think that's a lot of people's
emotions.
Nature.
Emotions play a lot into the way that people react to things. And
for more relationship advice, follow Johnny Love.
To get around it.
So another twist that is added to this from the comment section.
Is this written by M. Night Shyamalan?
Could be.
There's all kinds of twists and turns in this one.
So one commenter noted, I would feel hurt and underappreciated. Super rude of her. Do you often feel unappreciated by her? To which the original poster said, sometimes I do. She does something wrong and I have to force an apology out of her. It won't come to her naturally. What hurt me the most is that some random dude I recently met gifted her something in a game and she loved it. Like, loved it. My gifts never had that level of appreciation, so I confronted her on it, and she said that she never asked for it. He simply decided to give it to her, which is true. It was never asked of him to do it, but still, it hurts a lot more to know someone else can make her happy more than me. Mind you, they're not even friends by definition. He just happens to work for the games company and could afford to give her that gift, a thing that I didn't gift her myself because she said she wouldn't have time to play between studying. So it sounds like, going back to the example that John used from Blackish, it sounds like the girl in this situation is the type of gift giver slash receiver that the husband is, and the roles just might be reversed gender wise on that. And I think it's kind of on you to pick up on that and maybe start acting accordingly.
And also, as far as the like show of appreciation, it's for some people it's harder for them to project that. Like it's hard to show appreciation for something, like, but like, sure, you can verbalize it, but that could seem empty and hollow when you're in the certain ways that you present that. So I feel like that could be him perceiving something that's not necessarily true. It could be that way too. It could be that maybe she really just fucking doesn't like his gifts, but it could also be that side of it as well. Like there's some other folks that I've had this conversation with as far as like showing appreciation and things like that. And for some people it's hard to project that. That love of receiving a gift. You're just like, oh, yeah, thanks. And this is as far as it goes.
But I think the contrast of her getting this other gift and just being so enamored with it
shows
that there are things that will get her feeling that way.
Yeah.
He just hasn't figured it out yet.
And it could also be that she has shown that level of appreciation. He just hasn't received it that way.
That could be a factor, too.
So overall, it sounds like this guy might need to kind of
sit down and talk. That's what they need to do.
They
need to work it out.
Get to the real meat of it. This sounds like you need to have that hard conversation that you know you've got to have, but just don't really want to. But it sounds like if you're the one that's feeling this way, then you kind of have to get there. So anybody want to offer any parting and closing words to I kind of need this, because he clearly does kind of need this.
I think I said it perfectly the first time. Just figure out what types of gifts that she appreciates and maybe communicate back to her what kind of gifts you like to receive, because you're looking through your own lens. You're not looking with her in mind.
So TLDR to I kinda need this, learn her gift language. And that will wrap up Reddit Reviews. When we come back, the game show that has the greatest stakes that has ever been offered in radio history. We'll find out what that is, what the game show that we're playing is, and then, of course, we will wrap everything up with our lovely robotic and algorithmic AI script towards the end. So stay tuned. We still have a lot of fun to have, and we will get to all of that when we come back.
This morning. The vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids. The vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids. The vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids. The vitamins, the minerals. That's Turbo Force.
This might be my new favorite song.
Five different types of caffeine. Doesn't have a crash. Five different types of caffeine.
Now, unfortunately, I've never given any consideration to LASIK myself because I'm not going to lie. I kind of like wearing glasses, and I've just come to accept that about myself, that I think I look a little bit better in them than without them. And so I've chosen to have subpar eyesight for now until the end of time. But John, you have a unique opportunity to get a very pretty good deal on LASIK, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. A friend of the show, Rob, is getting LASIK as well. They got some referral things. So I've always wanted to. My sister has. A lot of people that I know have had the procedure have never said anything bad about it. So I actually went in, was it last weekend? The weekend after? Doesn't matter. And actually got a consultation. So this will actually be the last time that you see me wearing glasses.
Ooh. Hopefully.
But I was at the consultation, right? So I'm sitting there because you know how these things go. You have an appointment. It doesn't really matter. You're still going to be waiting around a little bit. So I brought my Switch.
Hurry up and wait.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I brought my Switch. I'm sitting in the reception room playing it. And I have that like Pikachu wrap on the outside where my eventually the lady who's going to do that like pre-consultation before you actually see the doctor, she comes out. She sees it. Her name's Yachty. She's just like, I love your Switch. I was just like, oh, thanks, appreciate it. And so from that moment, I don't know. You ever be in like a mood where you're just like, I'm gonna be clowning around today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just making everything a joke. Well, I kind of had that moment when I was having my LASIK consultation. I go into the room. She says, go ahead, sit here. I ask, what if I want to sit in your seat instead? She's just like, well, then I'd have to fight you. I was like, all right, well, I don't want any smoke. So I sit down in my seat. And, they go through those, like, pre-screen questions, you know, health history, da-da-da-da. And she's like, all right, so we're going to take a look at your pupils. And so I stop her. I was like, Yachty, I'm sorry. There must be some kind of mistake or misunderstanding here. Uh-huh. I'm not a teacher. I don't have any pupils. she's like, you bastard. You're like under her breath. And so it continues on. Like, they ask more questions. She's just like, because in the form they ask, like, do you have any like CDL? Do you have like a pilot's license? So she goes like, oh, do you have any special licenses? And I look at her. I'm just like,
a license to kill.
That's the one. she's going through the list. She's explaining the procedure at this point. And she's just like, yeah, so it's going to be completely painless. We have these like numbing eye drops and stuff. So you're not going to feel a thing, maybe slight discomfort. I was just like, can it be painful?
I would prefer it that way personally.
And she's like, oh yeah, we can make it painful. Get the knife, rip your eyeball out. And I was just like, is that cheaper? She's like, it's extra.
So
we go through the whole like consultation or whatever, and then I'm at that middle point where you're supposed to be seeing the doctor, and brought back out to the waiting room. And at this point, the waiting room's filled with people, but there's a couple chairs here and there. She's like, all right, go ahead, take a seat anywhere. And I look at her, I'm like, anywhere? And I just sit down on the floor right there in the middle of the fucking reception room.
Clown world intensifies.
Everyone's just looking at me like, did this guy really just sit on the floor?
You chose violence that day.
Well, she told me I could sit anywhere, and I chose anywhere. But yeah, so I was just being a whole fool my entire LASIK consultation.
And it probably took what would be a monotonous experience and turned it into something fun, right? Like, you wouldn't think that you would be looking forward to, or you wouldn't think that you would have a good time when you're going to do something like, oh, I'm going to go get a consultation for this, and then go see the doctor, and then maybe wait in consultation person number two's room, and then slowly move up the consultation ladder until I finally get to talk to a real person. But you decided that day that you wanted to have a clownish time and just had fun with it.
Because the pre-screening person is not a real person. Only the doctors are.
Yeah, no, we talked. I talked about it to the doctor after I told her like the jokes I was making, and then so she felt comfortable. The doctor, she felt comfortable like making wise ass jokes. She's like, you know what, it's stuff like this that makes like our job like more bearable. So thank you.
I bet that, yeah, that made their day too, because I'm sure they get a whole bunch of, I don't want to say Karen type people, but people that are maybe overly afraid or like, right. Oh, what if this
too
is going to damage my, yeah, too serious.
And at that point, that's actually when I was like, why so serious? And then we started talking about the new Batman. It was crazy.
I can't wait to see that.
Neither can we.
Yeah.
So speaking of movies that are coming up, we have a game show to play in just a moment. Now, we are, of course, getting into Oscar season, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I can't say that there's anybody nowadays that gives a single fuck about the Oscars. But look, this used to be a really big deal back in the day, particularly when the Oscars first started coming out, and it actually had some prestige to it when people won awards. Now it's just kind of, look, we all know the game is rigged and it's, you know, nobody cares. But the Oscar nominees for the 94th Academy Awards, we're at 94 Gross. Already, Jesus, were announced this week, including nominees for Best Picture. And I'm not going to lie, I've only heard of one of these, which is the Steven Spielberg West Side Story remake. And let me know, leave a comment, and I want to hear from you guys, too, if you guys have heard of any of these movies. Now, the movies that are up for Best Picture this year are Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up is on there, too. I did hear of that one.
Don't Look Up is a great see that. Movie.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it still. Maybe I just didn't read this list hard enough because, okay, so Dune is the next one on the list, which I haven't seen yet, but I really want to. Drive My Car, never heard of that. King Richard, never heard of that one. Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, and The Power of the Dog.
These are all for Best Picture?
These are all up for Best Picture this year. And so,
what is the judgment criteria for Best Picture?
Whoever pays the most.
Good.
What do they tell the rest of the world? What is the criteria?
I don't fucking know. It's good.
Is it like the filming aspect? Or
probably. Oh, just best overall picture, I guess. Whichever one is the artiest and the snootiest.
It good.
Yeah, it good movie. And so for tonight's game show, we dive down Oscar memory lane to a world where they gave a fuck about the Oscars, which is not the world that we live in today. But alas, it is a world that people once lived in, and we will time travel back. We'll go way, way back into that world where people gave a fuck about the Oscars as we play tonight's edition of Let's Play a Game Show. So here's how this is going to work. And I want to start off by congratulating both of you because I'm awarding both of you 10 points right off the bat. And there is a secret twist to this.
Just for showing up? Yeah, what is this? Fucking modern America
just
with
for
kids?
Showing up. Okay. Congratulations, Justin. Congratulations, Johnny Horndog. You both have earned 10 points immediately for even participating in tonight's version of Let's Play a Game Show. However, those 10 points may not be your 10 points at the end of the game because the format that we're doing tonight is Final Jeopardy Let's Play a Game Show, where I have 5 Oscar-related questions, and I've got the 2 whiteboards here, so one of you are going to have to decide which of your whiteboards is bigger than the other's whiteboard. So who wants to have the bigger whiteboard and who wants to have the smaller whiteboard?
I'll take the smaller whiteboard. I'm secure in my whiteboard size.
Good, good. So can you do me a favor and hand out both of those whiteboards and one of the markers from...
This other one's like literally a unit.
I know. That's what I told you. Look, you put them up side by side. You maybe have a whiteboard sword fight with each other. And
it gets this little small square. Mine's just like a full-size whiteboard.
One of them's too small and one of them is way too big. So congratulations, Justin. You have the bigger whiteboard and you also get to pick what colors you want to use too. So how we're gonna do this is I've got 5 Oscar related questions, and as per the rules of Final Jeopardy, with your 10 points that you've got to start out with, you will have the opportunity, based on the category that one of these 5 questions, or that all of these 5 questions will have, to wager an amount of points that you have that you started off with in the Final Jeopardy game. Now, you can wager up to 5 points, and you must wager at least 1 point, and you may go in the negative. And if you go in the negative, then your point total will just be deducted from your overall score. Now, to recap those overall scores, Justin is barely bringing it home at a grand total of 40 points, but Johnny Horndog is not that far behind. very in striking distance with 38 points. So this game could decide it all. It could decide also who will get to play the titular character that may or may not have been teased by the rejoin tonight, but pay no attention to that in our lovely, lovely robotic AI script reading. So we now go to question number one. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, question number one, the category for question number one is sequels in best pictures. So Justin, you still over there? You still behind that?
Yeah, I'm over here. Can you see me?
So before we start off, I would like to know, based on the category sequels in best pictures, how many points are you going to be wagering out of your 10 for this question? Sequels in best pictures. That could be anything. You could wager up to 5, must do at least one, and I would like to see what kind of strategy you guys are going to be starting off with. Are you just going to start with, let's slam all 5 of them, see what happens?
Can I just say my number?
Yeah, yeah. Once you guys have both written it down, then tell me how many points that you guys are wagering.
So we're both wagering on the same question.
Yes, you guys are both wagering on the same question. It'll be like Final Jeopardy. You guys will be writing your answers as well on your whiteboard. And then once 30 seconds has expired, then we will go over it. If nobody, or if you get the answer wrong, then you lose the points. And if you get it right, then you will, of course, gain that amount of points as well. It is indeed possible that both of you will be in the negative points and will be losing points tonight. But, you know, hopefully your knowledge will carry you through. So, Justin, how many points will you be wagering? Justin is wagering 2 points for question one. And, John, how many points are you wagering for sequels and best pictures? John is starting off slow with 1 point. And the question for sequels and best pictures, which movie was the first sequel to win the Best Picture Award? 30 seconds on the clock. Which movie was the first sequel to win the Best Picture Award? Because you wouldn't think that...
Wild guess on my part.
You wouldn't think that a sequel would make it into the Best Pictures category because they're generally worse, but there are a couple ones that are just as good. 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that will be time. So the question was, which movie was the first sequel to win the Best Picture Award? Let's see your answers, Justin, for 2 points. Terminator 2. John, what did you put? He has got a big fat question mark.
I don't know.
For, oh man, I think you guys are going to kick yourselves once you hear this. The Godfather Part 2.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense
first,
than what I put.
The first sequel to win Best Picture. So taking off 1 point and taking off 2, that'll put Justin at 8 and John at 9 points so far. And we move to question 2, which is classic movies in history. This one that we're talking about that is the subject dates back to 1940s. So how's your 1940s movie knowledge
film
looking like?
Noir, let's get it.
How many points are you wagering for this one, fellas?
1.
Justin's only going to go 1. John, how many are you going with?
I'll go 2 on this one.
Ooh, John's going to go 2 on this one.
Flipping it.
Flipping it, yeah. So this question, what was the first colored film, color film, not colored film, because back in the 40s, that can mean something different, to win an Oscar for Best Picture in the year 1940. What was the first color film to win an Oscar for Best Picture in 1940? 30 seconds on the clock. This is a tricky one because I am not a movie buff at all. My movie history is not the greatest. However, I've heard this movie in the rumblings when movie history is talked about here and there, so it is indeed possible to maybe get this one, and we've got 10
first
seconds
color
left.
Movie.
Color movie, yes. First movie in color. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and markers down, folks. Justin, what do you got? Wizard of Oz. John, what about you?
Wizard of Oz.
John put Wizard of Oz. The answer is, and then crossed it out. Honestly, at this rate, I would have taken that, even the crossed out Wizard of Oz. But alas, both of you are losing points. It was Gone with the Wind.
That crossed my mind, but
really?
I imagine
I thought that was after.
Yeah.
Because, like, Wizard of Oz was, like, I guess maybe they were the first one to do a transition where it was black and white,
yeah,
to color. But I know they were both right around the same time frame.
We move on to question 3 out of 5. Both players tonight have lost some points so far, but we have a tie nonetheless with Justin at 7 and John also at 7. And the topic for question number 3 is famous figures winning a lot of awards.
Sick.
So how many points are we wagering on this one?
2.
Justin's going 2.
I'll match it with 2.
And John is going to match it with 2 as well. So
I don't have a whole lot of faith in winning points tonight.
Apparently not. See, I really thought that one of you guys was going to try to big dick it and just slam 5 for at least a couple
of them. I've played Jeopardy many a time and Final Jeopardy as well. Like you don't always go big unless you know.
Final Jeopardy is serious. Now, the question for famous figures winning a lot of awards: which famous figure has won the most Oscars? He was nominated for a whopping 64 awards and won 26 of them. And we got 30 seconds on the clock. Keep in mind, this might not necessarily be an actor. It could be any member of the movie-making staff. But this is a famous person, nonetheless, who has won 64 or nominated for 64 and has won 26 of them. 10 seconds left. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Confident.
And markers down, fellas. All right. We'll start with John. What did you come up with for famous figures? Steven Spielberg.
Hey, great minds think alike.
And Justin also going with Steven Spielberg. And that will knock another 2 points off of both of you guys' total.
We suck again.
The answer.
Hans Zimmer.
Walt Disney.
Okay.
Was nominated for 64
awards. Are they
post-mortem
awards? Is he all while he's alive?
Is this?
I would doubt it. I would imagine that he would be winning some while he's, or at least nominated for some while he was dead too.
Cheating,
right?
I don't know. I don't write the questions.
You do.
Yet you literally have written every single one of these questions.
Actually, this time I was feeling extra lazy tonight, so I just took questions off of an Oscar trivia website. So we move on to question. Let me enunciate that. Number 4, and this category is the year the Oscars almost got canceled, and this will bring you back to something in history that occurred in 1981. And you guys both have 5 points apiece, still tied. How many do you want to wager for this one?
Fucking 1.
Yeah, one.
One.
How many more questions do we have?
There's
left?
Only one more after this.
Oh, okay.
So, the question, why was the Oscars postponed in 1981 at less than 24 hours notice? Now, something important in history occurred in 1981. This was a big event in American history that ended up postponing the Oscars. So, think back to 1981 and let's see what your history knowledge has got. 10 seconds.
This is a stretch.
5.
But it might be right.
4, 3, 2, 1. And markers down, fellas. All right, Justin, what do you got that happened in 1981?
The LA riots? Question mark?
LA riots. That's a good guess. What about you, John?
Riots.
That was a good guess, but it seems like the trend for
I don't
point
think I
reduction
think the riots happened before that though.
Continues.
What's the answer?
The answer. Remember the attempt to assassinate President Reagan?
No,
that
yeah,
happened.
That was in D.C., not in fucking L.A. Was it?
That's why still, still mean, because
no, I don't remember that. You know why? Because none of us were fucking born.
There
Cameron.
We go again.
What? I didn't know this one beforehand. I wasn't born then. I can't be asked a question about this.
Right?
And what are the facts? Every single question so far, none of us have gotten right.
That sounds like a you problem.
Says the guy with the answers on the screen.
I would have gotten at least one of these so far. Well, maybe not, except for this last one. This last one should hopefully be a softball. And the topic is,
I'll
with both
you
of you
softball.
At 5 points. We'll do that after the show. The topic for...
You mean 4 points?
Yeah, we have four each. Yep.
Oh, yeah, you guys both have four. So with 4 points each, you have the ability to bet some points for category 5. Shut up. Which is animated films that have won Oscars. So think about your knowledge of animated films.
Is there a specific film you're looking for?
It will be a specific film that I'm looking for. Now, how many points are you wagering for this one? How does your knowledge of animated films look like?
3.
3. All right. Justin's gonna gamble it for 3. I think this one might pay off. John, how much are you gambling?
4.
John is going to go 4 out of 4 on his points.
All right, let's go all in.
All right, Justin's going to
change his answer.
You're both going to change your answer to all in, so it's going
to
be a tie.
I changed it to 1.
All right, John changes to 1.
No, 4.
So you both are going all in on this.
Why not?
This could be a 0 point day, fellas. And, you know, what are we going to do? You guys will have to fight to the death over who he gets to play. I'm sorry. So we'll have to figure that out at some point. So
I'm kind of retarded.
We know. So question, which film won the Academy Award the first year that the Best Animated Film category came out in 2001? So think of animated films in 2001 that you think won Best Animated Film. 20 more seconds. This is a tough one. 10 seconds. Animated films in 2001. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Markers down.
Cheater.
This one might give it away, but we'll see who's the sharpest tool in the shed with these answers here.
Not me.
Justin said Toy Story 2.
I said movie film.
John said a movie film, not even a guess at all. The answer is Shrek in 2001. So, man, this...
I don't even think Toy Story 2 came out in 2001.
I don't think so
either.
It
came out until, like, 2003. Because the first one was, like, 98.
So, we have a wrap, fellas. It was a wash in tonight's Oscar history game show. And I regret to inform you that the score overall for Let's Play a Game Show will not change at all. We have got Justin once again at 40 points and John at a whopping 38 points. So we will, of course, continue to carry this into next week. And hopefully somebody can pick up some points next week. But tonight just must not have been the lucky night in.
Tonight's not the night for me.
No, it wasn't. All right, I will admit that some of these questions are fairly hard, but I would have thought that somebody would have got one of these. Maybe I should have.
I don't know.
Okay,
shit about
so
movies.
Me
not as far as like what
dates
critics think, right? Like,
right.
I know what I think about movies.
I've never watched the Oscars, not even once. I don't care.
As a child, I watched a couple of them, like because of like Lord of the Rings when that came out. I was curious as to what awards they were going to win, which they won a bunch. Mm. Now, if you would have had something like that, that would have been, I might have been on top of that, but.
Look, it's topical because even though nobody cares about the Oscars, they used to care about the Oscars. So we'll have to resume our point earning game next week. We'll have to do the whole earning points thing. And that will conclude tonight's edition of Let's Play a Game Show. It was a big fat wash. So now we have, of course, something to determine because there was not winner.
I guess that means it's you.
Ooh.
Okay.
And then one of us will have to narrate.
All right. Okay. I am.
Let me get this. See how that works.
So,
what, take turns narrating?
Yeah.
Every other?
So, at the end of every show, we do a lovely, or at least every other show, sometimes we throw Reach for the Sky in there. At the end of every other show, we do one of our favorite classic bits, where we run 1,000 hours of entertaining content through a robotic AI algorithm that ends up spitting out a piece of robotically written AI-tainment at the end.
Oh, you didn't even read this?
No, yet. I haven't read it at all.
Oh, you haven't read this one
so
yet?
So good.
Oh, man. So, of course, to kind of tease a little bit our 1,000 hours for this week. Now, I got a couple of sound effects. I got a couple of nice little songs. And tonight is 1,000 hours of...
Well, today, InfoWars Life Protein Bar.
Oh, yeah.
I just devoured your cousin, InfoWars Life.
You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch.
This is what I want.
I want this song. Please send me the link.
I will. We have 1,000 hours of Alex Jones content, ladies and gentlemen. And here's going to be the challenge for tonight, which is to decide, could this have been something that Alex Jones actually said, which will yet to be determined. Now, of course, as the winner of tonight's Let's Play a Game show, it's me. I claim winnership. Winnership. I claim victory in tonight's Let's Play a Game show. So I guess I will be playing Alex Jones. We'll be swapping around the parts today. You guys will be alternating as the narrators. And I'm so looking forward to this. All right. So we have 1,000 hours of Alex Jones. The title... InfoWars.
I have one question. What does INT mean? INT dot.
Interior.
Okay.
And we move over to, you know what, let me find another Alex Jones song in here. Maybe we'll just use the rejoin.
Okay, it's true.
And
I stayed up late last night, so I had half the turbo forces.
Action.
Interior Alex Jones town. Alex Jones crazies at his desk. He's full of rage and hams.
What happened to teeth? I haven't seen a tooth in 10 years. Bernie Sanders gave them all to a bird.
Alex screams at himself. Alex then screams back at himself.
Hillary Clinton is Monica Lewinsky. Same girl. She's a demon from Out of Spice. She gave the sun pornography, and now we have global warming, and all my sweat is taxed like saliva.
Alex's face turns the color of ketchup. Because of all of the ketchup he drinks.
The Constitution was written by gay space ghosts, and that means America is technically pissing me off.
Alex takes a sip from his mug. It's full of certs.
We're being invaded by Jewish walruses, and SeaWorld won't even give me a coupon.
Alex holds out his hands. There's no SeaWorld coupon.
That's not due on your grass. It's a cyber poison Paul Ryan downloads into our lawns. Don't kiss it. It turns your bones North Korean.
I'm sweating.
Just like Alex Jones. Jesus. It'll get taxed. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Alex dunks his head into a vat of eels. He pulls his head out. He's fine. The eels don't want him. They want the teeth Bernie gave the bird. We all want the teeth. Give them bird.
The only vaccine is eating a Bible. Medicine is Satan's Pepsi, and I'm a Coca-Cola man.
Alex punches a hole in his desk. Wah! IKEA is his new enemy.
You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch.
I'm gonna be honest, Joe. I'm kind of retarded.
Fuck, I'm sweating, dude.
You did a good job.
I know.
You wonder why he sweats all the time. Imagine doing that for 2 hours.
Fuck, dude.
Do you have a newfound respect for Alex Jones?
I
kind of
do, man. Like,
I never thought this day would come, but look at me now.
I'm fucking sweating. Like, Jesus.
She Jesus.
No,
not
it's not
Jesus.
She
Jesus.
It's all a conspiracy. Jesus Christ went back in time and made her a she.
God, fuck.
That was so great.
All right, shake it off. Shake it off, fellas. So, all right. centered.
Me, 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 me.
Namaste.
Yeah. When you're method acting Alex Jones, there's a certain level of rage level that you
have
just
to crank
have to it
to
11.
To, yeah.
That's where Cameron's at right now. He's trying to decompress.
Listen, you son of a bitch. What the fuck's your problem?
Clearly a big one. So, namaste. So thank you all for listening and joining us on the show tonight. Be sure to follow us on all of these social medias. It is at Simulation Radio.
Ow.
I know, that kind of hurt. I'll have to go back and edit that. I'm sorry. I love you all. Thank you all for joining us and subscribing and continuing to support the show. I love you all. And the frogs, unfortunately, have not turned gay just yet. We'll have to.
And on that bombshell,
we'll have to figure it out. We'll see where it goes. And I'm still fucking tired from that fucking
got a
reading,
going.
Man. Jesus. Anyway, I love you all. Bye.
In my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch.